welcome, everybody. It is Sunday night, and that means it's time for Outbeat Radio, and this is Outbeat Now. And if you're joining us tonight for the first time, we welcome you. Outbeat Now is a public affairs show for and about the LGBT community here in the North Bay. The show airs on the fourth Sunday of every month and includes the Outbeat Youth segment. Outbeat Radio is on every night here, every Sunday night here on KRCB at 8 p.m. with a different show each week. My name's Greg Morelli, and I'm here tonight with my co-host, Jeff Basham.
Good evening, Greg.
We've got a really exciting show, but before we get into it, let's talk a little bit about Sonoma County Pride that starts next week.
Absolutely. June 6th is Sonoma County Pride in Guerneville. Sonoma County Pride this year is taking to the streets of Guerneville for the second year in a row. It starts, again, June 6th at noon with a Pride parade down Main Street in Guerneville, all kinds of different entrants in the parade, and then continues with a festival at the Guerneville Lodge from 1 p.m. until 6 p.m. And there's going to be all kinds of performers out at the Guerneville Lodge, including Vocal Minority from the San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus. That's a small subgroup of the Gay Men's Chorus. Polkonomics will be there. Ejector, The Paper Dolls, Count Me In, Jazz Trio, Mr. Sister, and more. All concluding with a drag show at 6 o'clock. And so lots of fun to be had out there. Outbeat Radio will be there. We'll have a booth, and we'll actually be in the parade, won't we, Drake?
Absolutely. I think we're going to have a car all fixed up with the Outbeat Radio banners that are brand new.
Absolutely.
And so you'll get a chance to meet all of the Outbeat hosts. And then be sure and stop by our booth down at the festival. We'll have some CDs to give away and some T-shirts that we have been slaving over trying to finish up to have ready in time for the event.
You have been slaving over. And a little bit more about Sonoma County Pride. The MC is none other than Irene Soderbergh, who is the famous gay icon and diva. So we are very, very happy to have Irene out there. More events related to Pride. Pride Comedy Night is on June 12th, which is the following weekend, and that starts starring Vicky Shaw and Daniel Leary this year. And the Pride Interfaith Service is the next day on Sunday, June 13th. And that's a interfaith service for all people of faith. You don't have to be associated with any particular church or religion or any church or any religion. You can just come by the interfaith service that's going to be held at the Unitarian Universalist Congregation on Mendocino Avenue in Santa Rosa.
And of course, if you want more information and get some more details on all of the events associated with Sonoma County Pride, you can check out the website at www.sonomacountypride.org. All right, we're going to shift gears now and check out the news with Joel. We'll be back in just a few minutes with this week's show.
This is Outbeat Radio News. I'm Joel Bellagio. In international news, UK Gay News is reporting that Moscow Mayor Yuri Luzhkov has banned the Moscow Pride March for the fifth year in a row. In spite of the denial, chief organizer Nikolai Alexeev said he is not going without a fight and has promised that as soon as he receives written notice of the ban, he will take the case to the European Court of Human Rights. While in the country of Malawi, a judge has sentenced a gay couple to the maximum 14 years in prison with hard labor under Malawi's anti-gay legislation. The case has drawn international condemnation and sparked a debate on human rights in this conservative southern African country. Meanwhile, in the United States, an appeals court judge who wrote a historic opinion extending gay and lesbian rights has won a seat on the Oregon State Supreme Court. Jack Landau, an Oregon Court of Appeals judge, wrote the opinion in Tanner v. OHSU, which ruled that employers cannot discriminate against gay and lesbian couples when providing health care benefits. And GayPolitics.com is reporting that Nikki Antonio is assured to become the first openly LGBT state lawmaker in Ohio. Antonio, who now sits on the Lakewood, Ohio City Council, won the Democratic primary on May 4th, and no Republican opponent filed against her in the heavily Democratic district that includes parts of Cleveland and Lakewood. Meanwhile, according to an article in the Miami Herald, after anti-gay psychologist George Reeker's recent trip to Europe with a gay male escort from Miami, the young escort at the center of the scandal spoke with CNN, indicating that psychologist George A. Reekers, an officer of the Conservative National Association for Research and Therapy of Homosexuality and a retired University of South Carolina professor, paid him $75 a day plus expenses to travel with him for 2 weeks in April to London and Madrid. Included for the money, the 20-year-old male escort would give nude sexual massages to 61-year-old Reekers every day during their trip. Reekers, a well-known anti-gay activist, recently was paid more than $120,000 by Florida to testify in defense of the state's gay adoption ban. The young man's services were advertised through the website rentboy.com. Meanwhile, right here in California, this story out of Bakersfield, where the first openly gay man to hold an elected office in California will not be honored in local high school campuses. As the Kern High School District Board of Trustees voted 3-1 last week to not observe Harvey Milk Day on May 22nd. Conservative trustee Ken Mettler raised the proposal earlier this month to not observe Harvey Milk Day. Several speakers at the school board meeting on Wednesday said Milk should be honored for his work on civil rights. Conservative board member Mettler was the Kern County chairman for Prop 8 for traditional marriage. And with that, we here at Outbeat News are going to let our hero Harvey Milk speak for himself.
Somewhere in Des Moines or San Antonio, there's a young gay person who all of a sudden realizes that she or he is gay, knows that if the parents find out, they'll be tossed out of the house. The classmates would taunt the child. And the Anita Bryans and John Briggs are doing their bit on TV. And that child had several options. Staying in a closet, suicide. And then one day that child might open a paper and it says, homosexual elected in San Francisco, and there are two new options. The option is to go to California. Stay in San Antonio and fight. 2 days after I was elected, I got a phone call, and the voice was quite young. It was from Altoona, Pennsylvania. And the person said, thanks. And you've got to elect gay people so that that young child and the thousands upon thousands like that child know that there's hope for a better world. There's hope for a better tomorrow. Without hope, not only gays, but those blacks, and the Asians, and the disabled, and the seniors, the usses, without hope, the usses give up. I know that you cannot live on hope alone, but without it, life is not worth living. And you, you've got to give them hope. Thank you very much.
And there you have it. This has been Outbeat Radio News. I'm Joel Bellagio. Say. This month on Outbeat Now, we are honoring National Law Enforcement Month with several related stories, including one about a very special member of the Hillsburg Police Department who is retiring next month after dedicating 30 years to serving our community as a police officer. Chief Susan Jones is with us tonight. Welcome, Chief, and congratulations on an incredible career.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here.
Chief Jones, as you look back at the beginning of your career some 30 years ago, what was it like for a woman working as a sworn officer in law enforcement?
Well, it was kind of unusual at the time. It was 1979, actually, and there were not a lot of women in law enforcement, and we really were not accepted, at least in the department I was applying with at the time, which was Kern County in Bakersfield.
I can imagine.
We weren't even considered police officers. We were matrons.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we could only work the jail. They wouldn't let us work patrol. And our uniform consisted of the regular uniform shirt with a green wool skirt. And I carried my gun in a big black purse.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
That's incredible.
Good times.
Okay. I guess we've come a long way, baby.
Yeah, we have.
We sure have.
So in those early years of your career, did you see yourself as being able to come out on the job? And when you did, how did that play out?
Or in my early years, no way. Absolutely not. That was something they'd fire you for. In fact, they asked in the interview process before we were hired if we had ever had what they called a homosexual relationship.
Hmm.
And
wow.
I really never came out. I just never hid who I was.
Hmm.
And I think it became apparent to most of the people I worked with. Probably this was when I moved up to the Bay Area at the Concord Police Department. It's probably around 90s.
Did that also apply to gay males?
I would imagine. I didn't know of a gay male in law enforcement until the year 2000.
Where did you work prior to coming to Healdsburg as the police chief?
I was in Concord for 17 years, and then before that, 5 years at the Kern County Sheriff's Office.
And what year did you start in Healdsburg?
2002.
2002. So it was a very different town from what Healdsburg used to be by 2002. I grew up in Healdsburg, and I know that, you know, one of my memories of it was that there were, I think, 7 bars on Main Street,
right.
If I recall. So I'm trying to imagine you working in that particular environment. But 2000 would have started to change things a little bit.
2000, I think, did start changing things. I was coming up to Healdsburg.
Were you? Okay.
Yeah, because we're big wine
right.
fanatics.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh.
So I've been coming up here since the late 80s. And I never really gave Healdsburg a second thought because it just seemed like a small town
yeah.
with a lot of bars.
Yeah, yeah.
but it has clearly changed.
Oh, it's significantly
yes.
changed.
I love it.
It's not the same place anymore.
No.
I hardly even recognize it, and I don't live that far away. And I was raised right in this area, so yeah. tremendous changes going on up there. So that must have been exciting to be kind of involved in that environment of Healdsburg kind of growing up.
Right, right. It was. I loved it. Coming from Concord, we were a little more active, a lot of gang activity,
uh-huh.
homicides, violent crime, and coming up to Healdsburg was, you know, complete change.
Sure.
It was great.
Yeah. What a vacation.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
What have you seen change in Healdsburg? What's most notable in your mind from 2002 to now?
I think the police department has changed quite a bit. When I got there, we had 16 sworn, including me, one woman.
Aside from yourself?
Aside yeah. from myself, and
okay.
one Latino male. And now we're unfortunately back down to 16 sworn because of budget cuts. We did go as high as 19. But we have 5 women, and one of them is African American. And we have 3 Latino males, all bicultural. What my charge was to try to create a department that accurately reflected the community we serve,
mm-hmm.
because that's how you build trust.
Sure, absolutely.
And it's worked. Crime's down. Not that it was ever really up, but
right.
but it
yeah.
has dropped, and we're seeing businesses, unfortunately because of the economy, kind of come and go, but still a good city.
That's great.
Yeah.
So can you tell us if you have any most memorable and favorite assignments that you experienced in your career?
As I look back, one of my favorite ones, at the time it wasn't, I hated it, but I was playing a street hooker on Union Avenue in Bakersfield.
Yikes.
Oh, wow.
That was different.
Well, that's
and
different.
I was young.
Yeah.
You know, I couldn't fully appreciate it because I think at the time I was about 24 years old. Now, looking back, it was pretty funny.
Huh. Amazing.
Yeah.
Wow. It's just something you don't think about. You know, I'm not in law enforcement. I don't have any concept of what that might involve. I have family members who are mm-hmm. involved in law enforcement elsewhere. And so, wow, that's a tremendous experience. Having
yeah.
been a tremendous experience.
Interesting.
Yeah, definitely.
Huh. Never would have thought that you'd be playing an actor role as a police officer.
The acting has to be pretty good because
oh,
you
sure.
really have to convince people.
Oh, sure. Uh-huh. Yeah,
yeah,
I'm sure. Yeah, I can understand that.
I will bring up one of my favorite moments was being at I was in Baltimore for the Women in Policing Conference, and at the same time, the Feminist Expo was there. And all through my career, starting as early as I did, there wasn't a lot of women in law enforcement. So my role models were Cagney and Lacey. A lot of young people, listeners out there, have no idea who I'm talking about. But
and I'm raising my hand right here in the studio for that.
Sharon Glass and Tyne Daly. They had a TV show. They were NYPD cops.
Sure they
and
were.
They were like the cutting edge. Probably the most real up to that point.
Sure.
And at this expo, I got to meet them.
Oh, that's great.
And they were just great people.
Neat.
So it was pretty cool.
That's great.
Yeah.
Excellent.
That's great.
Can you give me an idea of how you became the chief of the Hillsborough Police Department? Is that an elected position? Or did
it's appointed.
An appointed position.
I applied. Okay. There were 62 applicants for the job.
Huh.
Actually, I was a lieutenant at Concord. When the application came out, I was working as a district commander for the Valley District, and it was 62,000 people and a bunch of cops. Anyway, I applied for the job, and I went through the process and was appointed. They said I was the unanimous choice, and I felt like I should go to Disneyland or something. I felt like I won the prize. It was
That's great. Oh, congratulations on that one.
Greg gave me a little bit of background when we were talking before the show, and he said that there's an interesting story about you being appointed and the city council not knowing something.
Well, okay, yeah, I should tell that story. So I get the phone call from my boss at that time, the city manager, Chet Wystepek, and he wants me to come work for him. And I'm excited, elated, thrilled. I hang up the phone, and I go, oh, my God, I don't know that he knows I'm gay. And this is a high-profile position.
Sure,
and this is a small town, and I don't want to leave a job in security, go up there and pretty much run out on a rail. I have no idea what the culture is or what I'm getting myself into. Mm-hmm. So I called in and spoke with one of my friends who's a police chief now in Novato, Joe Crines, and told him I got the job. And I said, do you know if they know that I'm gay? Because he knew the interim chief. And he goes, oh, yeah, I'm sure they know. Well, how would they know? Well, I told Steve, the interim chief, all about you and Tony. I said, Tony could be a guy. And he got really quiet, and he said, oh. So the next day, I get a phone call about 10 in the morning from my future boss, and he said, you know, he just wanted to talk with me, touch base, how am I feeling? Great, wonderful. Oh, hey, by the way, Steve, the interim chief, came into my office this morning and told me that you're gay. And I said, yeah. And he said, well, it's not a job qualification. We don't care. I was just
awesome.
Wow, how cool.
Yeah.
That is so cool.
That is.
But I did ask him to run it by the council because, you know, we've got five elected officials who may feel differently. And he did. They didn't care. And I was brought in, sworn in a few weeks later. And I got to acknowledge my partner there and
That's really great.
Chamber President Lynn Wasnicki came up, hugged me, and said, welcome home, and it was awesome.
That's great. Really great. Really
great
to hear. You know, even back in 2002, that just shows where Sonoma County has been for the last 8 years, and Hillsborough in particular.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's great. Can you share anything about working as chief? What's the best part of your job, things you particularly enjoy?
For me, the best part about the job is the people. I love working with the community. I like meeting the people in the community and the people who work at the police department. They are my family, and I've never felt that way about a place I've worked before. It's going to be really hard to retire. But it's just, they're such a wonderful, accepting group, just great. One of my things was I had kind of a rocky career at the last place, Concord, because of some discrimination issues that... When I got to Hillsborough, what I wanted to do is create a workplace that I would love to come to and be a part of. And I think I've done that. We had an audit done by the Peace Officer Standards and Training. Mm-hmm. And we have the lowest absenteeism rate in the state of California because people want to come to work. We have to force people to take vacation.
That's awesome.
I mean, that's great. That's a wonderful thing.
Yes,
great.
It is.
Well, I understand that you and your partner, Tony, have made Hillsborough your home.
Yep.
What has that been like for the two of you living in the community where you work?
It's fun. We walk downtown or go out to dinner and people see us and say hi. And It's great.
That's great.
You're clearly a role model for women in law enforcement, as well as for anyone in the LGBT community in general. You've done so much for your life and been so successful. If you had an audience of gay and lesbian young people interested in getting into a policing career, what advice would you pass on to them?
I would say go for it. Do some background on the department, though. Find out, if you can, what their culture is, how people are treated there. If it turns out that they're accepting, see if they have other gay and lesbian people working there as well, or how they treat women. Or you can look in public records and see if they've had any lawsuits around discrimination. And if they have, you know, be a little selective about where you work. But as far as getting into the profession, it's a wonderful profession. I did not have this on my radar when I applied as a deputy sheriff way back when, but it has been such a satisfying career because it's so different and every day is different, even if it's the same call you go to, different circumstances. It's just, it's fun, but go for it.
And what are your plans for retirement?
play. I'm just going to play. Yeah. I'm open actually to some opportunities along the lines of consulting. Mm-hmm. While I still have the skills, they're fresh, and it's, you know, what I've worked my life to perfect as much as I can. 3 years ago, took up the saxophone. I've been playing in a couple of bands, and I'm having fun. I want to do more of that. We rescued awesome. A couple of dogs last year. I want to play with the dogs.
Yeah, right.
I just want to enjoy and now do things on my time, my terms.
That's great.
Chief Jones, thanks so much for your service and for being such an inspiring role model for not just the LGBT community, but for everyone in Healdsburg and Sonoma County. And us here at Outbeat Now would like to say congratulations on your retirement, and thank you for being with us tonight. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you.
And Chief, just a quick personal note, thanks so much for being a role model for me, and congratulations on your retirement. We're going to take a quick music break, and here's Defying Gravity performed by the cast of Glee.
Something has changed within me. Something is not the same. I'm through with playing by the rules of someone else's game.
Too late for second guessing. Too late to go back to sleep. It's time to trust my instincts. Close my eyes and believe.
It's time to trust.
Support for Outbeat Radio on KRCB-FM comes from members and from Advanced Fertility Associates Medical Group, providing comprehensive fertility care to men, women, and couples wishing to expand their families. Advanced technology, old-fashioned care, serving Santa Rosa and the North Bay for 25 years. You'll find them on the web at afamd.com. And from St. Joseph Health System of Sonoma County. St. Joseph Health System understands there's more to you than can be found on a chart. By taking the time to understand your life, the team at St. Joseph Health System is able to provide a whole new level of personalized care and comfort. More information can be found at stjosephhealth.org.
And welcome back. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Outbeat Radio here on KRCB FM Santa Rosa. It's time now for the Outbeat Youth segment.
Please put my soul up to love. I am so, so alive.
Welcome to this month's edition of Outbeat Youth. I'm Greg Moralia. Outbeat Youth is a program for and about queer youth in the North Bay. You'll find us here every month on the fourth Sunday as part of Outbeat Now. But remember, you can listen to past shows anytime on our website at outbeatyouth.com and on iTunes. Everyone is invited to follow us all month long on Facebook, MySpace, and Twitter. Just go to our website for the links to all of our social networking sites at outbeatyouth.com. For this month's segment, we're honoring National Law Enforcement Month with two stories about how police departments are learning about the LGBT community and how they are opening up career opportunities for young LGBT people. One of the police departments that has changed dramatically to welcome young LGBT members is the Los Angeles Police Department. The LAPD has become a leader in the law enforcement profession with its outreach, and I talked to one of the people responsible for this change, LAPD Commissioner Robert Saltzman. Commissioner Saltzman, welcome to Outbeat Youth.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Well, let's start out. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the Los Angeles Police Department Commission and how long you've been a commissioner?
Okay. I've been on the police commission for about 2.5 years. In Los Angeles, the police commission is 5 civilians appointed by the mayor of the city of Los Angeles, and we are charged with being the civilian oversight for the LAPD. So what that means is that the chief of police reports to us, and we set policy for the department, and we review specific cases whenever an LAPD officer uses deadly force and certain other kinds of force.
As I understand it, you're the first out commissioner to serve in this position.
I'm not the first, actually.
Oh, really?
I'm happy to say there were several before me. Mayor Dick Reardon, I believe, was the first to appoint an openly gay man to the police commission, a gentleman by the name of Art Maddox. And then Mayor Hahn had also appointed openly gay commissioner Dean Hansel. And then when Mayor Villaraigosa was in office, came into office, he appointed a woman, Shelley Freeman, who is an open lesbian. And when Shelley resigned due to the workload, Mayor Villaraigosa appointed me.
So what's the experience been like for you?
It's been very positive. I'm a lawyer by training, and my professional career has been mostly at USC, at the law school, teaching and as an administrator, but also I spent some time working in local government in Los Angeles, but not closely in areas related directly to law enforcement. So I've had a lot to learn, but the experience has been very positive. There's always a significant amount of things to do, a lot of work going on at the high levels in the LAPD, and of course at the street level as well. But it's been a very positive experience. I've been very well received. And the things that I've gotten involved in have all been interesting and difficult and something that I feel very good about.
Oh, that's excellent. Excellent to hear. Let's shift a little bit toward the youth.
Okay.
Tell us a little bit about how the Los Angeles Police Department Explorer Program moved away from the Boy Scouts and what was the impetus for that?
Well, it's been a longstanding debate, I guess. In the last 10, maybe 15 years, you know, the Explorer programs have a long and, to a great extent, positive history of getting youth involved in a variety of professional settings, law enforcement being one. But the Explorers, the program originated with the Boy Scouts of America. And as you and your listeners probably know, the Boy Scouts affirmatively discriminate on the basis of sexual orientation and gender identity, as well as religious views. And the Boy Scouts litigated their authority to do that all the way to the United States Supreme Court, which ruled that they do have the authority to discriminate on the basis of sexual orientation and religious views. And one result of that was that throughout the country, a number of local governments, cities, counties, and other local governments, in addition to a number of private entities, corporations that had Explorer posts, made the decision to sever their relationship with the Boy Scouts because of the Boy Scouts' affirmative decision to discriminate. And the point essentially is to the Boy Scouts, you're within your rights to discriminate against people based on sexual orientation or gender identity, but you don't have a right, if you're going to do that, to have a relationship with us if the us is an entity, a city or an agency, that itself chooses not to discriminate. And so that was the impetus across the country for municipalities and counties to break their relationships with the Boy Scouts. And that's what eventually happened in Los Angeles as well, that the city of Los Angeles for a number of years has prohibited discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity, and also prohibits contracts between the city and outside entities that do discriminate along those lines. And so this was an inevitable outcome of the Boy Scouts' insistence on discriminating. Now, there was a delay in it because the Boy Scouts, a number of years ago, essentially separated the Explorers program from the Boy Scouts itself and created a new organization called Learning for Life, which itself does not discriminate, but in the end is essentially simply part of the Boy Scouts of America. And so although there's some disagreement about the relationship between Learning for Life and Boy Scouts, at the end of the day, it's pretty clear if you look at who's active in Learning for Life that the relationship between the two organizations is very strong, and as a result, the discriminatory policies of the Boy Scouts really can't be escaped without a full separation from the Explorer program. And that's what the LAPD decided to do. That's what the Los Angeles Fire Department has done. And it's happened in a number of other municipalities and counties around the state and the country. In L.A., as a result, we have set up our own Los Angeles Police Cadet program, which is essentially a very similar program to the Explorer program. There was never any complaint about the substance of the Explorer program and the tremendous opportunities it presented for youth who are interested in law enforcement. The issue was having it operated by an entity which would not discriminate based on sexual orientation and gender identity. And right. Now that it's being run by the LAPD itself, we're confident that that's how it's being operated.
Now, was there an individual person who came forward and said, I want to be part of this organization but can't because of who I am? Or what?
As far as I know, there never was an individual, a youth who came forward and said that. There are plenty of adults who have been kicked out of the Boy Scouts and who, as leaders, and then there have been also youths who were clearly not welcome in the Boy Scouts because of their own sexual orientation or gender identity, or because of the sexual orientation or gender identity of their fathers and mothers. In LA itself, I don't know of any instances within the Explorer program, but part of the problem with all of that, of course, is that the Boy Scouts are so clear about their discrimination and about their strong statements about the inappropriate behavior of gay and lesbian people, and for that matter, the inappropriate views of people who are atheists, that folks with those views or those identities are not likely to come forward and try to be active because they know they're not going to be welcome.
Right, right. So how's the new program set up as opposed to the way it was?
There's very little difference from the perspective of the folks we now call cadets, who used to be called explorers. They're organized in troops at local divisions and stations of the Los Angeles Police Department. They work with LAPD officers. They assist with big events and small events, community outreach events. Probably the most significant difference, and it's not that big a deal at the end of the day, is that the patch on the uniform is now different. The old patch of the Explorers had in the middle of it the insignia of the Boy Scouts, which really, I thought, undermined the argument that the Explorers had nothing to do with the Boy Scouts.
Right.
The new patch has a has a symbol which is representative of the city of Los Angeles and the LAPD. But the activities going on in the program where youths are learning about law enforcement, being exposed to current law enforcement officers and issues and policies, there's been very little change in those. Since the LAPD took it over, there have been some additions to the program that we're proud of. There is now a little bit more emphasis on the academic side, on some ethical training, talking with the youths and current law enforcement officers about the ethics of law enforcement. And also, at the request of the cadets, we're now doing some public speaking training because, as you may know and your listeners may know, public speaking is something that a lot of people are afraid of, but it's a skill that pretty much everybody can benefit from learning about. And so we're helping the folks in the cadets learn to do public speaking in a safe setting where they get some confidence doing it and then can use those skills in school and in other settings as well.
That's incredible. Well, I know that's a huge issue for us even in the basic police academy when we get 20 to 30-year-olds that are coming through and they're terrified of public speaking.
Absolutely.
And that's such a big part of what police officers do, whether it be in court or, you know, out in the community.
There are apparently surveys which say that there are more people who indicate they're afraid of public speaking than they are afraid of dying.
I've heard that.
Which is a pretty amazing statistic if it's true.
Yeah, very much so. So what's the age range in the cadet program?
It starts in the early teens and goes to 20. We're fortunate in the LAPD to have programs before that for folks who are younger and then also for folks who are older than that to get them involved in community activities and if they're interested, eventually get them into the academy as well. That's part of what we've been trying to do as we've moved away from the Explorers into the Cadets, is to integrate this program better into all of the outreach programs that the LAPD already does with youth through all the way up through adults.
That's smart. Very, very smart. So if you had all of the, you know, the young people, LGBT people who are looking for a career or thinking about a career in law enforcement in a room, and you had the ability to talk to them, what advice would you give them about getting into this profession?
First, I think you should pursue what you're interested in, regardless of what the hurdles might be. If you're interested in law enforcement, then I say go for it. It's a great career. It's challenging. It's rewarding. It's interesting. And it's far more open than it used to be. Second, I think it's important for you to be who you are. If you're gay or lesbian, bisexual, transgender, I think you should be open about your identity when you're comfortable being open about it, not on somebody else's schedule. Coming out's difficult, but at least when you are out, you can be who you are, and those around you can know and appreciate you for who you are as a complete person. And in my experience, if you hide something as important and integral as your sexual orientation or gender identity, those around you perceive that you are not being completely honest, and that may affect your abilities and your success. I'm not suggesting this is easy, because it's not, but I do think Harvey Milk was right. Things will change the quickest for the better when everyone is honest about who they are. Third, I'd say it's important to take advantage of the gains that have been made by those who came before you. You can find individual mentors to help. And in addition, there are lots of organizations that will welcome your participation, and that by participating, you can help yourself. I happen to be on the board of directors of the Gay and Lesbian Leadership Institute, or GLLI. It's an organization that's committed to training and supporting LGBT individuals to become leaders in society generally, in politics, in government, in business, in advocacy. And being an LAPD cadet, going into law enforcement, are both forms of leadership. And I think the more LGBT people who participate openly as leaders in law enforcement and other professions, the more progress we'll make. GLLI is just one of many organizations that you can take advantage of and that will help you get to where you want to be. Finally, ask others for advice. That's my advice, but other people will have other suggestions that will be valuable as well. Definitely take advantage of what you can learn from those who came before you.
We've been talking with Commissioner Rob Saltzman of the Los Angeles Police Department. Commissioners, thanks so much for being with us on Outbeat Youth.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
And local police here in the North Bay are becoming more educated about the gay and transgender community during their training at the Basic Police Academy. We have with us live in the studio tonight Nathan Putney and Joel Katham, who are cadets at the Napa Valley College Criminal Justice Training Center. Welcome, Nathan and Joel, to Outbeat Radio.
Good evening. Thank you for having us.
So, you know, let's start out with, you know, just learning a little bit about you. What got you interested in becoming police officers?
Well, my brother's a police officer, and I saw what he was doing, and I respected it, and I sounded like a fun and exciting job, and I decided that's what I wanted to do.
And for our listeners out there, that was Joel talking. And Nathan?
For me, I've always really enjoyed dealing with people. I enjoy and appreciate that it's a dynamic career. I get to know a lot of different people. That appeals to me.
So just give us a quick count on age. Nathan, how old are you?
I will be 25 in July.
25, and Joel?
27 in October.
27, well, okay. I was going to guess a lot younger than that.
Okay, well, Nathan, I'd like to ask you a question. I'd like you to tell us about the community policing project that you are required to do in the academy and talk about the requirements that go along with that project.
Certainly. As I understand it, our academy, the Napa Valley College Basic Police Academy, is the only academy in California that requires it. And it's an immersion project, and so the goal is for cadets to get outside of their comfort zone, to sort of step outside the box for themselves, to learn about new cultures or different groups of people, and particularly the immersion aspect. They really want you to experience that community from the inside out, and it was, I think, for me, one of the highlights of my academy experience thus far.
Did you have to do any interviewing or anything of the community that you chose?
We did. Three face-to-face interviews were required, as well as one immersion activity, be it a meeting of some sort or a community activity, a church service. There were a lot of different options. But yeah, we did three face-to-face interviews, and it was a really neat experience.
Good, good.
Well, Joel, let me ask you this. How did you guys pick the topics? I mean, what did you have to choose from? Or did the academy assign those to you?
No, we could pick anything we wanted, basically. That was another culture. We picked transgender group because, well, the academy wanted us to pick something that would take us out of our comfort zone. And for me, that was going to be way out of my comfort zone. I didn't know how to talk to people who are transgender or anything. So we purposely picked someone or a group that would challenge us. And it did. It challenged me. So
you had choices. You could have picked a nationality or a religion or a disability or something like that, but you guys chose the transgender community for your project.
Yes, we could have chosen any ethnicity or anything like
that. Wow.
And we picked transgender just to take ourselves out of the comfort zone because I knew nothing about them. So,
very good.
And Nathan, what appealed to you about the transgender community and being part of that group or learning more about that group?
Of course. For me, it was really an interesting thought to come to the realization that there was a group of people that I knew absolutely nothing about, and I fancy myself a people person. I like to get to know different religions and cultures, and that all fascinates me. And it was really eye-opening to think that there was a group of people that you know, that you live and operate side by side with that I was absolutely unaware of. I think.
Okay. What were your expectations going into the project? Did you have any fears or anything?
I was worried about offending people. I certainly, and again, that's part of the goal of the project, as I understand it, is to learn about that. And I was worried about stepping on people's toes, about making other people feel uncomfortable, about accidentally saying something that would be interpreted wrong or perceived as offensive. And so for me, that was a real concern.
And Joel?
same thing for me. I think I expected them to be kind of uptight and us to understand what they're going through, and I didn't want to say the wrong thing, and I didn't want to do the wrong thing, and it turns out everyone was very open and willing to share their life experience with us, and I was wrong, and it was an eye-opening experience for sure.
Were there any opportunities for you to squelch that fear, Nathan, what you just said?
There were. Everybody was really open and honest with us, and that was something that struck me. I felt like we had a really open dialogue, and everybody was really eager almost to share about their own personal experiences and about the community as a whole, and that really impressed me. It seemed that we only had to ask really basic questions, and people were really forthright and really excited to share about themselves.
Great, great. And Joel, can you share with us a couple of the important points that you brought back to the class?
Yes. It was just the main thing they wanted us to talk to the class about was gender is what's in your head and sex is what's in between your legs. And that was kind of eye-opening for me just because, I don't know, I think before I went in there, I thought these were people who just wanted to dress up and change. I don't know what they wanted to change. And it turns out this is something they were dealing with their whole lives, and it was something that they really felt they were. It wasn't just a phase they were going through. And they really stressed that to us, that, you know, this is who we are, and something's wrong with us, and we need to get this fixed. Something's wrong with us in that our gender doesn't match our sex.
Mm-hmm. Anything to add to that, Nathan?
I was particularly impressed by people's personal stories, and it really occurred to me the difficulty that you must feel and how hard it must be to experience that, to have your identity not match your sex. And for many of the people that we spoke with, they had lived an entire life almost into adulthood having to battle that, and that it really impressed me. It also really impressed me how open people were willing to be with us and how excited they were to share their stories, and that really struck me on a human level.
Great, great. Now, can you tell us a little bit about the presentation that you made to the class? I know you guys did some kind of a almost immersion effect for your class, correct?
We did. It was pretty information dense. We had a PowerPoint, and again, we just shared some of the experiences that had been passed along to us. It was a really good experience, and we had another group in our class that did transgender adults, and so we were able to work really hand in hand with them.
Okay, so you guys your focus was on transgender youth?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and Jeff asked about the immersion piece. I want to go back to that for just a second. So when you thought about having to immerse yourself in the culture, did you have trouble finding a culture? Did you have trouble finding a place to go?
Yes, we contacted several people, and we got shut down in a lot of places. And then finally we contacted Positive Images, and they were very welcoming. And when we got there, I just remember being very nervous about going in there, and I just didn't know what to do, and I thought they were going to be judging me when I went in there, and they weren't. And I remember getting in there, and I was like, oh, I just don't want to be a bother to anyone, and we're going to ask them questions. And I sat down in this chair, and it had to be probably the squeakiest chair in the place, and every time I moved, I thought, oh man, they're looking at me. Oh geez, what am I gonna do? And after I was there for a little while, I calmed down. I was able to talk to people, and it was a really good experience.
And so this was the trans group of Positive Images, not just the general support group that they have.
Yes, correct? This was a trans group.
Good, good.
So what was, just without identifying names or people or anything, what were some of the ages that you saw in the room?
The ages varied. I think the youngest was 15 or 16 to 56, somewhere around there. And, yeah, that was shocking because I never expected transgender to affect children so young. I thought that was something that you decided later on in life, and it turns out it's not something you decide at all. It's just something you are.
So how did your class receive the presentation?
I felt like our class was really interested. There were a lot of other presentations about different religions, and I think, again, there were a lot of presentations on cultures and on different groups of people that were relatively familiar to the group. And for our class, I think everything we had to say about the transgender community, and particularly the youth demographic, was all new information. And people, our class seemed genuinely interested in people's stories and experiences and in learning about that community.
So I'm just curious, what other topics did you hear presentations on? As you know, because you also sat through all the other presentations, right?
So yes.
So the whole class got a chance to learn about all the different groups. What are some of the other topics that were covered?
There was African Americans, Mexican Americans, disabilities. So we had Tourette's syndrome, and then there was one on gay youths and adults.
The hearing impaired and the visually impaired, different religions. We had a presentation on Buddhism that was really interesting, and a presentation on the Sikh culture. And they were all really different. A lot of, particularly the immersion aspects of the presentations were different. What people chose, we attended a support group and got to hear people's personal stories, rather. And the Sikh presentation involved a community celebration that was really neat. We got to, several of the groups brought in presenters and guest speakers, and so we heard from a Buddhist individual who talked about meditation and talked about sort of the theology behind the religion. It was a really neat experience.
Good, good. And coming from a community or from your life, had you ever gone to a support group meeting before of any type? Was that a new experience for you?
That in and of itself, yes, was a new experience. And I think growing up in California here, I've been exposed to a lot of different religions and cultures, and it was really neat. We chose the transgender youth demographic particularly because I feel like even in the LGBT community, that's a demographic of people that isn't really in the limelight. I don't hear a lot about them, and it seems like they're still a lot quieter. And so it really piqued our curiosity.
One thing that we really try and do here on this show is recognize the T of LGBT, the transgender aspect, just so that because they're a group that's not represented sometimes in mainstream gay media, so we like to recognize them, and it's really wonderful that you came on tonight to talk about this experience and give our listeners an idea of how police training is changing and how that training is taking place. Joel, if you have, what do you think is important for law enforcement to know about the transgender community? What's like one thing or
one
two
thing
things?
They said, the groups told us, is that if we're not sure about if they are female or male or how far along in the transition they are, is don't be afraid to ask. Because they would rather have you ask than be called the wrong pronoun. So don't be afraid to ask. Get it out there.
That's great. That's great. And Nathan, is there anything that you wanted to, that really stood out as just one thing that you wish law enforcement would know about transgender people?
For me, it was that they really wanted to stress to us that they're not trying to fool anybody, that because the way that they dress or their appearance doesn't match their sex isn't to trick anyone. It's because they're trying to match their identity. They're trying to be themselves and be who they are and be comfortable in their own skin. And that really struck me as important. Also, I think the importance of an open and comfortable dialogue for us. I mean, individually, it was a really neat experience. And
so the Academy, I understand, is wrapping up. How long is it in total?
22 weeks. 22 long, agonizing weeks.
And it's not just like 1 or 2 days a week. You guys are there from 7 in the morning until 4 in the afternoon, 5 days a week for 22 weeks. It's got to be just absolutely grueling. I know you just came off of scenario testing. You were telling me about that a little bit earlier tonight. When's graduation?
June 12th.
Ideally. Knock on wood.
Knock on wood. Okay. And so what's, you know, in the next couple of weeks, you have your final testing. What's kind of going on with that?
Well, final testing and then a little easier 2 weeks, but we got one big test after that. And it's just hopefully smooth sailing and graduate and find a job.
And where are you going to be looking for a job?
Looking for a job as a reserve in Vallejo and possibly Solano County or Vacaville.
Okay. Nathan, how about you?
I'll be submitting applications anywhere in the Bay Area. I'd like to stay local if at all possible. Yeah.
It's pretty tough right now with cities and counties suffering from the state's budget crisis. You know, there's not a lot of police jobs that are out there. But so I really admire the two of you for having put yourselves through the academy. You're paying your own way to go. And I think that's really admirable that you're walking into the field on your own dime.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Well, we've been talking with Nathan Putney and Joel Katham from the Napa Valley Criminal Justice Training Center. We'd like to wish you both good luck in your futures, and thanks so much for being with us on Outbeat Youth.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Well, we've got a couple more minutes before the show ends tonight. Next week is the fifth Sunday of the month, and so we are going to bring you a very special edition of Outbeat Radio we call Outbeat Extra. And keeping in the theme of National Law Enforcement Month, we're going to bring you a one-hour special all about how LGBT law enforcement officers are making themselves more visible on the job. So make sure you tune in next Sunday night at 8 p.m. Jeff, I understand there's an event coming up on June 19th you want to tell us about.
There is. The Russian River Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence are going to be blessing a new restaurant in Durnville. The restaurant is called Tasty Gems, or called TJ's for short, and it is called the Heller Highwater Grand Opening with a blessing by the Russian River Sisters. That's June 19th at 3 o'clock. It's at George's Hideaway, which is located on Highway 116, just west of Durnville. The numbers exactly are 18100 Highway 116. TJ staff and the Russian River Senior Center is going to be providing food and fun, and the sisters will be there to bless the restaurant and bless everyone that is there. So. Will be a very excellent event, and so join us.
And the sisters will also be out at Pride Weekend next weekend, right?
Absolutely. The sisters will be there. The nuns on Segways will be leading the parade.
Very good. And if you missed the first part of our show, remember next Saturday is Sonoma County Pride. The Pride celebration starts on Saturday morning with a parade.
It's actually 2 weeks from now.
2 weeks.
Two weeks.
Right. Next week's the last week of school, and I think it's wishful thinking on my part. So
it
2 weeks. 2 weeks on Saturday, or Sunday, I'm
Sunday,
sorry,
June
6th.
Sunday, June 6th. Yes.
The parade's in the morning, followed by a festival in the afternoon, and you'll be sure to meet all of the Outbeat Radio hosts. We'll be there both in the parade and at the booth, and we invite you to come by and say hi, pick up a CD, and maybe take a look at one of our fancy new T-shirts.
Yes. Sun Bell has been working tirelessly on the design, so thank you very much.
Well, Jeff, it wraps up another show.
It does. It's been an hour, and I can't believe it. It just went by so fast. So thank you all for joining us, and we will see you next month here on Outbeat Radio.
And that'll be on the fourth Sunday of June, which is San Francisco Pride celebration, and we'll be bringing you some news and information from that day, as both of us will be there.
Yeah, both of us will be there, and we're also planning a really special piece for everyone to hear some of the 150 reasons that we should have pride. So that'll be a special piece for you next month that Greg and I are working on.
Very good. Well, we wish you a great week, and thanks for listening to Outbeat Now. Good night.
Good night.
Support for Outbeat Radio and KRCB comes from members and from the Advanced Fertility Medical Group, providing comprehensive fertility care to men, women, and couples wishing to expand their families. Advanced technology, old-fashioned care, serving Santa Rosa and the North Bay for 25 years. You'll find them on the web at afamd.com. And from PFLAG, the North Bay chapter of Parents, Friends, and Parents, Family, and Friends of Lesbians, Gays, Transgender, and Intersex Persons. The Santa Rosa Support Group meets at 7:30 p.m. on the fourth Monday of the month at 312 Chin Street. Information about support group meetings in Napa, Marin, or Mendocino counties is available at 1-866-350-2462 or on the web at pflag.org. You're listening to KRCB FM Santa Rosa at 91.1 and 90.9 FM.